Welcome to Surprise It's Not a Toaster, where healthcare digital experts Ed Bennett and I, Chris Boyer, delve into the fabric of online experiences, tackling annoyances, unveiling innovative solutions and cutting-edge tools, and we also challenge AI's limits. Good morning, Ed. How are you doing today?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I understand that you're just finishing up your first cup of coffee.
Yes. So I will be a little less enthusiastic. Just dial it down a notch from 10 to maybe 8. I'm ready for it.
Well, Ed Bennett at an 8 is like other people at a 10. So we'll take it for sure. Well, I'm excited. This is episode number 11, and we've got some really good topics ahead. But, you know, before we jump into this, you know, I know that we're developing quite a loyal following here of listeners. And we want to say to our listeners, you know, if you have a great idea for either an online annoyance or a tip or technology that we could feature, or even questions that we could stump generative AI, We are very welcome to hearing from you.
Yes. And we will give you a shout out and massive publicity.
Exactly. And who knows, there may be a prize involved.
That's right.
It's a really good question. So please submit your questions. Please let us know. So, okay. With that, why don't we get started, Ed? I think we're on deck for some really good things. And We always kick off with the thing that kind of is on your mind.
The annoyance this time around is really on the minor side. I mean, we've had some that are kind of really big deals and others that are just really trivial annoyances. So this is the trivial side of things. And that's when I search for an answer to something. Now, maybe this is the way my browser is set, my search engine is set up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I seem to be inundated with videos in response to whatever my question is. And many times I'm just trying to quickly get an answer to something. You know, What is 2 + 2? You know, and I have to wade through these videos because I don't have time. I don't have time to watch a 15-minute video where they do the setup and introduce themselves and they talk about the concept and then they finally get to it. I just want to read some text real quick and get an answer to my problem. Trends seem to ebb and flow. I mean, we've had the trends of everyone's going to be doing a podcast or everyone's going to be doing this or that. And I think maybe we may have gone, just at least for me, a little too much into having video be the way we communicate things on the web. We should try a little bit more to have text. Now, nicely, there are some really great tools to take video or audio content and turn them into text. The AI and stuff really shines when it comes to doing that. That's my annoyance. And I, you know, like I said, not a huge deal, but something that seems to bother me.
Well, Ed, I see it manifested on my end, too. It kind of annoys me as well in two ways. Okay, so first, I'm a video game player, right? So I play video games. And sometimes I find myself to be a little bit of a completist. And so whenever you're playing some kind of video game, there's a map, there's challenges and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there's inevitably that one challenge that I'm unable to find. You're supposed to come across it fortuitously. So I go online and I say, you know, I'm on this map on this video game level and I'm trying to find this one challenge. Mm-hmm. Tell me where it's at. And then they show like, here's 7 YouTube videos.
Right.
Each of which are 35 minutes long. And I don't want to watch a guy playing the video game for half an hour. That's what I want to do.
Right.
I just want to just show me a map and put a pinpoint on the map so I know where to go to make
it. Go from here to there. Right.
Yeah, exactly. It happens to me all the time in video games. Are notoriously bad about, you have to watch some other guy playing a video game for a long period of time to get the answer. I see that happening too. So enough with the videos. I've even started to modify my queries a little bit to say, show me a map of this. But inevitably, they're YouTube videos that contain maps. And so those are, for some reason, preferred. Another manifestation of this, Ed, is when I'm searching for recipes.
Oh, that's the worst.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
right?
That's the worst. There are now extensions you can plug into your browser that will scroll through all of the SEO verbiage and just pop up the actual recipe and ingredients. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy because there's a meme going around where it says, you know, give me a recipe for good chicken noodle soup. And the blog post pops up and says, when I was a young child, my mother always fed me chicken noodle soup. And then you have 700 words before you actually get to the ingredients. And inevitably, there's videos there, too, of showing them making the food. Now, I know how to cook, right? So I don't need to watch. And maybe at times that's preferable. One way I've gotten around it, Ed, is I've implemented the AI application in Google Chrome, which used to be Bard, now it's Gemini. And so now when it pops up the search results, it's AI search generated experience. They have text on one side, they have videos on the other side. So it's very easy to kind of navigate through where you're going. And you can use AI chat window to pinpoint exactly what you're looking for if it doesn't get your answer.
There are some times where the AI embedded in these browsers is incredibly useful. I can give an example, but it's sort of tied to the next topic that we're going to do.
Which is a great segue.
Yeah. So the tip slash technology tip is about the upcoming solar eclipse. The eclipse is happening on April the 8th, 2024. There'll be a total solar eclipse that will go across, starting down in Texas and going all the way up into Newfoundland. That will be its totality across the United States. Folks might recall that in 2017, we had another total eclipse. That one went across the United States, starting on the West Coast and ending up, I think, in South Carolina is where it ended on the continent, which was a really big deal because it had been the first one in many, many years. And now we have the second one, and this one is even more spectacular. It's longer in duration, and it's going through some major cities. So it's a real opportunity for folks to see it. This is something that I'm really passionate about, And folks who haven't seen a total solar eclipse, I say, before you die, you owe it to yourself to see a total solar eclipse, which is actually the key phrase in an amazing video that was a TED Talk, where a gentleman, he's a journalist, is just talking about his experience with seeing a total solar eclipse. And those were the advice that he was given by an astronomer that he was interviewing for a different article. In 2017, I did a road trip with my daughter. We drove from Baltimore to Kentucky, and we saw the most spectacular eclipse. Of course, it was my first one, but it was just mind-blowing. And the frustration I have is that I know people, I have friends, who live 100 miles away from totality, and they can't be bothered. They've got things are going on that day. They just can't do it. And here I was driving 14 hours in traffic to get there to see it. It's like nothing you've ever experienced. In fact, I would say that a total solar eclipse is the most astounding natural event that you can experience here on Earth. We're actually kind of fortunate because the geometry of the size of the moon and our sun and the distances involved, I think, are very rare. And it's just one of those things that we, in fact, I read a lot of science fiction, and in some book I was reading a long time ago, that was like a little side note, but there were like all these intergalactic civilizations, and all of them were taking trips to Earth because it was the only planet where solar eclipses happened, because the geometry of this is so rare. And that's what Earth was known for. But the experience of it is mind blowing. When totality happens, things like the shadows before the totality happens become extremely sharp, and like you're suddenly seeing shadows in 3D. And because the light source is now down to a pinpoint instead of being broad. When you hit totality, you see it gets very dark, but you see a ring of sunset all around you. So instead of sunset being in the west and sunrise being in the east, where you see the different colors, those colors and that feeling is 360 degrees around you.
Wow.
It becomes quiet. The wind dies down. And what you see when you look in the sky is a vision of the sky that is unlike anything else you've ever seen. Because during that time of totality, you can actually see the planets and how they're facing the sun because of the way the light is glowing on them. You can see the position of the planets in relation to the sun. And then you realize I'm on a planet and I'm seeing where I'm standing, I'm seeing how I am in relation to the other planets and how we're all circling the sun. It's quite a spectacular shift in perspective. And for that moment, you actually see your place in the solar system in a way that is very, very real. And that is something that you have to experience. I also tell people, they say, well, I'm going to be at 98% totality, or I'm at 99. And it's saying like, I've got five of the six lottery numbers, but I didn't get all of them in terms of the impact it would have on you. many, many people, and I'm one of them, the first time they've seen totality, they become addicted to it and will do anything they can to see it again. And this year, on April 8th, I'm driving up to Canada with my wife and dogs, staying with some friends up there, and because totality is going to pass through about 100 miles away from them, and we're going to make a full day of it to go down into the path of totality, spend the day, see the eclipse, and have that experience.
Wow. That is so cool. What a cool tip.
And of course, I'm going to send, there'll be a link to that TED Talk video. Just watch that video because he's so eloquent in how he describes everything, much better than I am right now. You'll get what I'm talking about.
That is so cool. Now you're inspiring me to want to go as well, right?
Yeah. Well, there's more coming up in 2026. There'll be one in Spain. And I think in 2028, there'll be one in Australia.
Oh, wow.
So if travel plans like that are in the mix for you, it's something to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. So here I am living in Minnesota, and you know my thing is always wanting to see the Northern Lights, right. And of which I'm inevitably, you know, like missing out. I'm this shy of missing out, but this sounds like a quest, so to speak, right? A thing.
Yeah,
that
it's
you want
it's
to
a passion
out.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, for you can buy a ticket to Iceland. And and for a couple $100 and see it anytime you want. So
that's there you go.
So you
there
can you satisfy go. That one.
There you go. Well, that's really cool. See, this is why you tune into this podcast. It's not talking about technology necessarily. Yeah. This is about life experiences. What a great tip that you have.
I was thinking about now that the iPad Pro is out, which we talked about in a previous episode, you can record these immersive videos on your, I think it's the iPhone 15 Pro, allows you to record, and it's a three-dimensional video. There you can react to it and be immersed in it. I bet there's going to be a lot of those videos coming out for the eclipse, and I can't wait to see them.
Who knows? You might be wearing one yourself. You never know. What a great tip, Ed. I love that. I love that. And I will look forward to seeing that video. Well, Ed, now it's time for me to pivot to the Stump Generative AI, and it's going to be related to your tip.
All right.
We're recording this the week after the Super Bowl, and one thing that I noticed over the Super Bowl of all the ads, because I like to look at the ads that are associated. I did watch the Super Bowl, but I'm not really a sports guy, but I watched it anyway. It was a good game. But the ads were really interesting. And one ad in particular, one series of ads in particular, were from Microsoft. They introduced their Copilot application. Right. So this is a big thing, right? Microsoft acquiring and controlling interests in ChatGPT, and eventually it's been building out ChatGPT. There's ChatGPT 4. And then the next thing that they launch is Copilot, which is an application designed to be your AI assistant or your AI companion. And the commercials were really kind of exciting to see because they had different people doing different things. Have you seen some of the commercials for this?
Yeah, and I actually used Copilot. I was researching places that were having eclipse events. It was very difficult to find this through your normal searching. So I finally asked Copilot, give me a list of places that are having structured events that you can attend and pay a ticket for the solar eclipse in the Northern Peninsula of Canadian Ontario. And it took me a while to get the question just right, but it finally came back with a couple of links that were exactly what I was looking for.
That's great. Yeah. That's awesome. Now, in my testing of Copilot, and I also have been using ChatGPT 4 for a while, I still think Copilot has a ways to go, right? I'm a little underwhelmed with it. And you also may have heard that Google released their new AI tool, a Gemini, which replaces Bard. So in classic showdown, I wanted to test all three of these applications, ChatGPT 4, Gemini, and Microsoft Copilot.
Right.
And one of the use cases they showed in the commercial was a person studying for a test, and they asked to do like a simple quiz, right? To kind of help them study. And I thought,
like, so create a quiz.
Create a quiz. Yeah. So that's what today's generative AI will be.
Sure.
I actually asked all three of the different platforms to generate a simple three question quiz about the upcoming solar eclipse.
Oh, cool.
So the question I asked of Copilot was, generate a simple three question test about the upcoming total solar eclipse.
Right.
The first question, it says, what is the date of the upcoming annular solar eclipse in 2023? So it immediately chose the wrong eclipse.
That's really sad. Wow, I'm stunned.
Yeah. And do you know what that date is, by the way?
The
annular solar eclipse?
No,
it happened on October 14th of last year.
Oh, I do recall that. I remember seeing some of the pictures of it. This is one where the moon is further away, and so it's not covering the sun completely, and you get a very bright ring kind of appearance. And it's an eclipse, but it's not as spectacular as totality.
So already you're showing us that you're more handier than Copilot. Okay, question number two.
On one or two things, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Well, so question number two. What part of the sun becomes visible during a total solar eclipse?
It's called the corona.
That's right. Answer, during a total solar eclipse, the sun's corona becomes visible. This rare phenomenon allows scientists to study the solar wind and predict space weather events. And then the last question, this might be a little bit too deep for you. Which NASA mission data sources are used to analyze solar eclipses?
I don't know that.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
It came back with learners can analyze NASA mission data from the Solar Terrestrial Relations Observatory, or STEREO, the Solar Dynamics Observatory, SDO, and the Deep Space Climate Observatory, or DSCOVR, missions.
It is true that these are big events for science and the astronomic community. There are telescopes that exist just to study the sun. They're specifically designed to look at the sun, and they can create kind of a fake solar eclipse by putting shadows in front of it and whatever. But it has some value in terms of science, but it's nothing compared to the natural one. So that's why the astronomers get so excited.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. You know, I did test it in the other platforms, but I'm interested to get your immediate take here on Copilot. Sounds like it failed.
Yeah, it did fail. I mean, this is a problem, I think, of when you and I talk about something, it's understood that we know what the thing is in terms of importance. It's coming up in 2 months or a month and a half. So if I say, let's talk about the eclipse, I don't need to say solar. I don't need to say lunar totality. Mm-hmm. We both know because we're sort of aware of it. And in this case, it seems like the AI tool it doesn't realize that there's all this talk and chatter on the internet about what's happening on April 8th. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get that. That's probably what I'm asking about. And so that's a failing. Yeah.
That's a context issue, right?
Right.
Okay. Just for giggles then, mm-hmm. I'm going to share with you what Gemini came up with.
Okay.
A different format. And by the way, it didn't give me any of the answers. I had to reprompt it to say, please provide the answers to the questions. Right. Okay. So I have it. What date in April 2024 will the next total solar eclipse occur across parts of North America? And it gives four answers.
Okay.
April 1st, April 8th, April 10th, April 22nd.
It's four options, multiple choice.
Multiple choice.
Okay.
And we know from our conversation.
It's April 8th, right.
It's April 8th. Okay. Sure. So at least it got the context here right.
Yes, yes, it did.
Right. So number two, during totality, when the moon completely covers the sun, what dramatic sky phenomenon can be observed for a brief period? A, shooting stars. B, aurora borealis. C, planets and stars visible even during daytime. D, a spectacular rainbow around the moon.
Well, it's obviously C, right?
Yeah, that's what you talked about, right? So that's great. Question number three, why is it never safe to directly look at the sun even during a total eclipse? A, the bright light can damage your eyes. B, harmful ultraviolet rays can burn your retina. C, you might mistake the moon for the sun and get confused. Or D, it's against the law to do so during an eclipse.
Well, none of those answers are correct. None of them. It is totally safe to look at this directly at the sun during the time of totality.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because it did say D, harmful ultraviolet rays can burn your retinas, was the answer to that question.
That's not true.
So they also threw in a bonus question.
Uh-huh.
This is not multiple choice, though. What city on the west coast of the United States will be the first to experience totality?
Well, the path of totality for this one starts down in Mexico, and then it comes the first... It crosses the border of the United States in Texas and goes up through San Antonio and Austin And so it would be, it would, but it's not, it's nowhere near the West Coast. It's coming up through Texas and then straight north. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure what they're looking for.
It said Newport, Oregon.
Oh, they're talking about the last eclipse. That was 2017.
Yes. And I said, and then I asked her to explain the answer to the bonus question and provide a date. And this, and it said, my apologies. My previous answer to the bonus question was partially incorrect. While Newport, Oregon will be the first location in the continental United States to experience the penumbra, the faint outer shadow of the eclipse, the first location to experience totality when the moon completely covers the sun will be Mazatlan, Mexico, at approximately 11:07 a.m. Pacific time on April 8th, 2024.
That's really interesting response, because it's like, it's sort of hedging, because it was obvious that to me, the incorrect answer was based on the 2017 eclipse. And now it's trying to say, oh, well, what I meant was, it's crazy.
That is interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So in this case, Gemini did pretty well with the first two questions. The third question, it was incorrect, according to Ed Bennett.
Yeah, it's incorrect.
And then the bonus question was totally wrong.
Yeah.
So it's a fail.
It's a fail, definitely.
Wow. So, and this just goes to show you, right? Generative AI is interesting in that it does try to do things.
But it doesn't think about context. And then that course correction answer for the, that's a hallucination, because it just made up something to justify its first incorrect answer. That's really strange. This might actually be evidence of true general intelligence when it's trying to justify its mistake.
That's hilarious. Well, see, there we go. This is why we stump generative AI.
Yeah,
because
this is great.
We realize that the technology is getting a lot better, but it's not 100% there.
And it's always so entertaining, because we're used to computers and we're used to the software that is, with data questions, it's accurate down to the 10th digit. And here, AI is taking a completely different approach to how it looks at a question and provides an answer. It is very entertaining.
It speaks to the fact that I heard someone, and I'm trying to figure out who the exact quote is, but they basically said that the more humans interact with generative AI, the more it's going to make mistakes, because it's learning from us humans. See, this is why people tune into our show, Ed.
Yeah.
We truly, I think, lived up to our name today, because you were coming in thinking we're going to talk about technology.
Right.
And we ended up pivoting and talking about a life experience.
Right.
This lives up to the fact that our podcast is really surprised it's not a toaster.
Well, let's get an AI to take the tech transcript of our podcast and create a language model out of it.
That would be amazing.
That would be entertaining.
That would be entertaining. And once again, a really great episode. Yeah. I'm really having fun recording these with you. And for our listeners listening in, please, if you're enjoying these conversations, we'd love to hear from you. Give us your feedback. Give us a star rating on all of the review platforms. Contact me or Ed and suggest some things that we could talk about in a future state. So with that, I'm going to say for Ed Bennett, this is Chris Boyer. And the next time you're thinking about when the next total solar eclipse is online, be sure to question your generative AI platform, because, surprise, it might give you the wrong toaster answers.
That's right.
We'll see you next time.